brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Gordon. Thanks for joining me. We've got a great show here on Results Matter today. Teresa Kennedy, Assistant General Counsel at Cox Communications, Inc., and winner of the Lifetime Achievement Award for Atlanta Business Chronicle's Corporate Counsel Awards in recognition of her contributions to the legal profession. Teresa joins me here in the studio today. So glad to have you here this morning.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, I would like to start us off by understanding what inspired you to become an attorney, Teresa.
That's a very good question. I think a number of factors inspired me to pursue the practice of law. My mother's dad was a circuit court judge based out of Mellon, Georgia, which is kind of down Southern Georgia way. And he passed away before I was born, but I very much remember my mother sharing stories around the dinner table about his cases, and the practice of law sounded absolutely fascinating, at least from the perspective of a judge. Also, as a student, the courses that appealed to me the most were probably the reading and writing, not so much the arithmetic, but if you love to read and you love to write, I think those are two skills that would serve you well in the practice of law. And I guess the third factor that influenced me is that practicing law is very much a caretaking service profession. The goal is to understand the intent of your business clients, to put into writing what the agreement of the parties happens to be, and to the best of your ability to protect the interests of your client. So if you have a bent toward caretaking, and I think I do, I've been accused of over caretaking by my three children, I think that being a lawyer might be a very good fit. And those are probably the factors that led me to the profession.
So as you grew in the profession and developed, what were some of the experiences that you had along the way, along your career path, that helped you to really find out how you felt best serving your clients in the position of being an attorney?
It's been a varied path for me. When I graduated from law school in 1981, I went to Vanderbilt in Nashville, Tennessee. I initially looked at returning to Georgia. Both my husband and I are native Georgians, and that was certainly the natural inclination. But at that time, the southeastern economy was not very strong. So we began to look a little more broadly and were drawn to Texas, where oil and gas was booming, and Dallas, the initial television show, was also booming. And so that added a little glamour, I think, and allure. The idea of going to a different part of the country was very appealing to us. So we moved to Dallas, Texas, and I joined a firm which at the time would have been considered a mid to large firm, about 40 attorneys. These days it would not be big at all. But I had the opportunity to do a lot of work, particularly in connection with oil and gas offerings, and worked there for a number of years, enjoyed it very much, learned a lot. But I felt that there was something more that I wanted to find to enrich my experience as an attorney. And I began to hear more and more about the Southland Corporation, which is a company based in Dallas and owner of the 7-Eleven food chains. So
it's quite a large conglomerate.
Quite a large company and quite a large law department. The appeal of Southland, I think, was that they were involved in so many different aspects of business. At the time I joined the company, they owned a dairy. They controlled the Citgo oil and gas company. They, of course, had a gazillion 7-Eleven convenience stores all over the world, some company-owned, some franchise-owned. So it was the opportunity to work in a very diverse business environment and to work with one of the largest and most highly respected law departments in the city of Dallas. So after practicing law in a law firm for several years, I ended up moving to the Southland Corporation.
So what are some of the challenges with working for a company that has such a diverse portfolio where you're doing something different every single day?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it is challenging. I think that the ability to be a specialist is something that you have to be comfortable giving up a bit. We certainly had areas where we practiced more often than not, but every lawyer in the Southland Law Department was expected to do his or her fair share of real estate transactions, for example, because the company was constantly purchasing or leasing small plots of land for 7-Eleven stores. So you had to get comfortable with learning an area very quickly and just diving in and doing what needed to be done. We also were, at the time I joined Southland, a publicly traded company, so that I had the opportunity to learn a great deal about SEC regulation, about filings with the SEC, shareholder meetings. We were also involved in acquiring a number of smaller convenience store chains and occasionally selling off 7-Eleven stores. So I had the opportunity to travel around the country with the mergers and acquisitions team doing a lot of those transactions. So you learn a lot about a little, or should have said that the other way around, I suppose, a little about a lot. And you learn to develop a comfort level with that.
Now, today in your role as Assistant General Counsel for Cox Communication, your responsibilities include providing legal counsel to Cox Content Acquisition Department and Cox Media, the advertising sales subsidiary. How do these roles compare and contrast to some of what you experienced earlier in your career?
Well, in some ways, my current roles are very similar in that I have the opportunity to be part of a business team and to learn very intimately the challenges that the business people are facing. Also, both areas move at a very fast pace. What was cutting edge a month ago is old hat this month. What's new about the areas, or was new when I joined the company, I do a lot of political advertising law and general advertising law for Cox Media, which were new areas of expertise for me. And for the content acquisition group, the landscape is continually changing. When I initially joined Cox, watching a television show on a linear basis, live, on the night or day it was initially airing, was the way people viewed TV. Nowadays, almost no one views TV that way. I don't consider myself extremely techno-savvy, but even I use a DVR. I don't have any clue what night my favorite shows air. But I do know how to find that button on the remote to play back my favorite shows when I have time to watch. We also see a trend of especially younger viewers wanting to take their content with them, want to watch on their iPad or their cell phone or their computer, not just in their home, but wherever they may be. So we're seeing a constant change in technology, and that brings a host of legal issues that are brand new, not just to me, but to everybody in the business.
Right. I mean, you mentioned change. Obviously, having practiced for a while and in a number of different roles, you've seen a lot of different changes and experienced them personally as well. You mentioned earlier that when we were talking before the show about leaving the profession to raise your young children, talk about that decision and then returning to law. Was that a difficult process?
Yeah, in many ways, it was a difficult process. When I went to law school, I was one of a relatively small number of women in the law school class. And by today's standard, it was not an expensive undertaking. But at the time, it was quite an expensive undertaking for me and for my family. And it's also something I enjoyed quite a bit. So I struggled with the decision of whether I should take a sabbatical. I also struggled with the fear that if I step back from the practice of law, considering how quickly things change, I might not be able to step in down the road if I wanted to do that. But I had to balance those concerns against the needs of what at the time were two young children. My husband is an attorney and also a CPA. He has a very busy job, which involves a great deal of travel. And at the time our children were young, BlackBerries, conference calling, all of the things that make our lives both pleasant and unpleasant these days, were simply not available. And an attorney was expected to be client-facing in the literal sense of the word, in the office, in the conference room with the client. And it's very hard to balance that demand against the needs of your young children. So eventually we made the decision that our kids would not be young forever, and hopefully the practice of law would still be available when the children were older. And I decided to step back, stayed home for almost 6 years. And during that time, our third child arrived. So those were great years. I got very involved with the school, had the opportunity to be den mother for my sons, Tiger Cubs, very involved with room mother at the school and attending preschool events. So it was a great time, and I'm very glad I did it. But I was also very lucky. I stayed connected. I did the networking thing that we hear so much about, and I can't stress enough the importance of that. And I was able to reconnect with people in the legal profession. And when the time was right, I went back to work as a part-time contracts attorney working for a small company who needed a little help but didn't have the funds to hire an attorney full-time. So it was a perfect transition back into the legal profession, and just happened to be at the right place at the right time.
Oh, it's interesting you mentioned relationships, and I'm sure that you've found the value of relationships throughout your career. You currently serve as the board member for the Association of Corporate Counsel, the ACC, the National Board of Directors, and you're a past president of ACC Georgia's chapter. Talk about the relationships that an organization like the ACC allows legal professionals to develop throughout their career.
This is a great opportunity to do a shameless plug for ACC. Thank you for asking that question. ACC is a fantastic organization for in-house counsel. The official tagline, if you will, of ACC is the voice of the in-house bar. I totally agree with that, but I would also add it's the place where law is practiced as a team sport, which is not something you find very often among attorneys. Attorneys tend to be rather competitive. Some have been accused of hoarding information in an effort to make themselves shine. But at ACC, it's very much a collegial sharing environment. We're all in-house counsels. We're all very pressed to do a lot with a little. We, as I mentioned earlier, have to practice in a great variety of areas. And ACC is all about connecting people, both in the traditional sense, face-to-face at our annual meetings and our monthly Georgia chapter meetings, and also providing a multitude of resources on the ACC website. This last annual meeting, the one I attended last week in Orlando, marked the 30th anniversary of the association, and we have gone from a relatively small group to about 31,000 members in 75 countries. So I think that speaks volumes about the fact that ACC fills a tremendous need. And we had roughly 1,600 registered attendees and probably another 2,000 outside law firms and other legal service providers at the meeting. So again, I think that speaks to the value that ACC brings to the community.
Absolutely. That's a huge group and a huge force. So what were some of the topics that were discussed? I'm always curious to hear what's on the agenda of these types of conferences.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, change was a huge topic. We all recognize that The business world is changing, and the legal world needs to keep on trend with that. One of the key focal points of our national board meeting was globalization. Back when I joined ACC over 15 years ago, the organization was actually known as the American Association of Corporate Counsel. Several years ago, the association changed its name to the Association of Corporate Counsel in recognition that most businesses are moving beyond U.S. boundaries and that both business and law are becoming more globally focused. So we spent a lot of our time at this board meeting discussing the needs of members outside of the U.S., how to increase the legal resources that are available on ACC's website to serve the needs of non-U.S. members, and how to assist U.S. attorneys who, for the first time, find themselves representing a company that's taking its business beyond our borders.
How is the role of in-house counsel different from that of a law firm attorney?
I think one of the key differences to being in-house counsel versus outside counsel is, as in-house counsel, you are very much part of the business team. You work literally side by side with your business clients. You understand the budgeting process that they go through because your law department goes through the same budget process. You understand the urgency and the need to get products, services out the door as quickly as possible. The other difference, and this is something that I think a lot of people find surprising when they initially come in-house, is the pace is, in my opinion, faster. The reason I say that is that every employee in Cox Communications has my email address and my direct dial phone number. And because we don't charge for our legal services, they feel very free in contacting me, and I'm glad that they do, with any question that they may have, some of which are not always technically legal issues. Whereas if you're in an outside law firm, I think there's always a balance there. It's whether a client will reach out to you because of the cost involved. And you have the opportunity to learn something about the business, but it's simply not as intimate as being part of the business team the way that you are in-house.
Right. Now, being part of Cox Communications, are there specific areas that you have to be acutely aware of or tuned into?
I think being part of Cox Communications, it's critically important that you stay in tune with technology. I mentioned earlier the change that I've seen in the time that I've been with Cox in terms of how consumers view their television product. And I'm not by nature a real technical person, but I make a point of reading up on trends, talk to my kids about their preferences. In fact, had an argument or discussion last night with my daughter, who's about to graduate from high school, and wants an iPhone. And I said, well, that's fine, but why don't you want an iPad? Because I have an iPad, and I find watching video on an iPad so much easier than trying to watch it on that tiny little screen. And you can search the internet so much more easily because you can see things better. And she kept telling me that she was very fine watching a video and searching the internet on the tiny little iPhone screen. So you learn
great.
A lot. you definitely learn a lot about trends. And had a similar discussion with my oldest, who is 25 years old and wanted a subscription to Netflix. And so I had to learn a lot about what Netflix is, why he wanted it, what the appeal was there. And then when he bought his first home, he wanted to get Comcast's new home security package. So that gave me an opportunity to learn how a cable provider can offer services such as home security, fire alarm services, police, cameras that monitor the home, the ability to adjust the temperature inside your house remotely, all kinds of amazing technology that I would never have dreamed existed.
That's fascinating. And yeah, what a great side benefit to get to learn so many interesting things along the way. What qualities, Teresa, do you think are necessary for a successful in-house counsel?
Well, I think there are several qualities that would lend to success. One is probably the most important, the can-do attitude. Lawyers are by nature somewhat conservative, and as I mentioned earlier, we want to protect the interests of our clients to the greatest of our abilities. But we also need to recognize as in-house counsel that we want to facilitate a business transaction. And so when a client comes to an in-house counsel with an idea, a transaction they'd like to pursue, I think it's very important that rather than immediately begin shaking your head and pointing out all the problems, that you begin thinking about ways to accomplish that goal or a very similar goal while minimizing risks. The last thing that a law department wants to have is the reputation of business stops here or as the roadblock to business goals. So having the can-do attitude, I think, is critically important. Another factor that's very, very helpful is learning the business language and being able to speak to your business people in language that resonates with them. That's something that I've really enjoyed because I am a lifetime learner. I love to read, love to write. And so learning a little bit of the business jargon and being able to communicate to my clients using their own words is very important.
Now, what would you say are the primary challenges with partnering with your business clients?
Probably the chief challenge is that everybody wants everything last week. It used to be they wanted it yesterday, but times have changed. Now they want it last week. And that's not a criticism of them. It's simply a recognition of the environment in which they operate. They are very busy, very, very leanly staffed. Technology is changing very rapidly for them as well. There's an urgency about getting products and services out the door in front of customers, always remaining cutting edge. So they need things done, and they need them done very quickly. Sometimes it's a challenge to explain to a business client that what appears to be a very simple transaction is actually a great deal more complex than they might have imagined. One of my favorite comments that I hear pretty often from business clients is we just need a simple one pager. And I'm not sure what the magic is about one page. It's maybe visually it just looks a lot less threatening than a multi-page contract. Maybe they think, well, the other side won't even read it if it's just a page, or they won't run it through their legal. It'll make things move so much more quickly. But it's much harder than they might think to distill all of the key terms of a transaction as well as those essential protections to a single page.
I would imagine so. Now, you also at times partner with outside counsel. Talk about how that works.
That's correct. We do rely heavily on outside counsel, and I'm very fortunate to work with some excellent outside attorneys who have made a great effort to understand our business and to be very much up to date on trends in the industry. It's a very much a team approach. We consider our staffing and the business needs that are coming to us, and when we feel the need to bring outside counsel in, we try to do so as early as possible so that they're not having to deal with the, actually, I needed this a month ago scenario. I think the challenge in dealing with outside counsel, though, is always cost. We're all very cost conscious. Outside counsel are highly trained and skilled, and of course, they're operating a business of their own. And so, balancing the need for outside support against the cost factor, I think, is something that's always at play. ACC recognizes this as an issue that impacts all in-house counsel and has offered some very innovative ideas and tools for pricing and valuing outside counsel services. In the past, we strictly used an hourly billing model. Now there are a number of other models available to in-house counsel that are being embraced by outside counsel because they recognize that sometimes the hourly model is not the best one to follow. So I think it's a partnering, and it's something of a negotiation. communication is key so that both parties know what's needed and when it's needed. And it's been a very enriching part of my practice as well.
Teresa, you've published numerous articles in the award-winning ACC Docket and in Corporate Counsel magazine on topics ranging from establishing work-life balance, which we've talked a little bit about today, building trust between inside and outside counsel, and also evaluating and creating effective compliance programs. Anything you'd like to add on these particular topics and things you've learned in these areas?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I love to read and I love to write. So the opportunity to write articles for the docket was kind of the icing on the cake for me as an ACC member. All of the topics that I've written about are issues that have been top of mind for me. When I wrote the article about work-life balance, I had returned to the full-time practice of law in-house with Cox Communications. Cox is an extremely family-friendly company, but nevertheless, I had three relatively young children, and there are challenges to balancing your work needs and your home needs. So I thought by sharing some of my experiences and insights, I might be able to assist other in-house counsel, both men and women, both parents and non-parents. Parents who are struggling with similar issues. And another plug here for ACC, the docket is one of the best resources I think that ACC has to offer. It's published on a monthly basis. It includes articles on issues that are cutting edge for in-house counsel, and also includes some very practical tools within those articles. You'll find checklists, do's and don'ts, key issues, sample contracts, a wealth of resources. So if you are an ACC member and have not picked up the docket or looked at the digital docket, I really encourage you to do that.
Let's make sure people know where to find that online as well. Should they just go to the ACC website?
Yes, if you go to the Association of Corporate Counsel website, you'll find information about the ACC docket as well as the other materials that are in the Legal Resources Library. Many outside law firms have generously contributed materials on various issues in the practice of law, as well as their own sample contracts and other tools. All of that is available to ACC members worldwide.
Now, we've got a tradition here on the Results Matter show that we like to end by talking about results and what results matter to us. You've been involved in so many different things around your career, and this prestigious Lifetime Achievement Award for the Atlanta Business Chronicle's Corporate Counsel Awards, great recognition to all the contributions to the legal profession. What are some of the changes that you've observed in the legal profession since you became licensed in 1981? And what do you think are the results that really matter to people in the legal profession as, you know, associate corporate counsel now?
Now, that is a great question. And I have seen tremendous changes in the way that law is practiced since I was initially licensed in 1981. When I began practicing law, attorneys did not have computers at their desktops. Their administrative assistants didn't have computers either. In the law firm where I initially practiced, we had one word processing system that for some reason was housed in a room that was about minus 30 degrees. But that's where all of the word processing, the typing, was done.
Right.
And there was no such thing as searching the internet. There was no such thing as information that was readily available, such as on the ACC website. So things moved more slowly. It didn't seem slow at the time, but things did progress more slowly. Now we have everyone walking around with a BlackBerry or a smartphone. Every attorney I know has a desktop as well as either an iPad or a PC at home, and we're available around the clock. I think that the availability has caused the speed with which we work to have increased tremendously. I also think that the amount of information that's available to us has increased tremendously, and that's both a risk and a benefit. the benefit is, of course, having a great deal of knowledge there, of information that you can pull from. The risk is that not all information is particularly useful or good information. So I think the challenge for both outside counsel and in-house counsel is to parse through all of that information and determine what really matters to a client and to present it to your business clients in a manner that's both practical and useful for them. It's a constant learning curve, but it's a very exciting time to be practicing law, and I'm delighted to be part of it.
Well, Teresa, it's been a delight to get to know you today on the show, so thanks so much for joining us here on Results Matter. If people want to find out more about Cox Communications and what is going on over there, they can go to Cox.com?
Absolutely, Cox.com. Cox Communications is a subsidiary of Cox Enterprises, which is also based here in Atlanta, and our sister companies, Cox Media Group, Auto Trader, Manheim Auto Auctions. You'll find a lot of information about each of those on the Cox Communications or Cox Enterprises websites. And thank you very much for having me. I've enjoyed it very much.
Our pleasure. This is Elizabeth Gordon here on Business Radio X. Thanks so much to Dana Barrett for producing the show today. And thank you for all tuning in. We will talk to you next week.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.